Today's New York Times reports that American Crossroads, the super PAC created by Karl Rove and Mitt Romney's new advisor Ed Gillespie, is ready to kick off its first major wave of anti-Obama ads to help the Romney campaign during this bruising primary season. Super PACs were, of course, created by the Supreme Court, which declared they can accept unlimited amounts of cash as long as they don't coordinate with campaigns. President Obama was initially against them, but then, as his political advisor David Axelrod said, we can't play touch football while the other side plays tackle. So we hear a lot about money going into super PACs. How's the money coming out? Well, the answer is that much of it is being spent on firms that have mushroomed in 2012 with names like Targeted Victory and Target Point Consulting. Kim Barker is a reporter with ProPublica. She joins us from WNYC in New York. Kim, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me, Robin.
Well, and let's just start with one company, Targeted Victory. What is it?
It's a digital consulting firm that does work primarily for, well, actually just for GOP candidates. And it's located in an office suite that's just down the hall from another office suite that houses four other Republican consulting firms. Targeted Victory does digital consulting for Mitt Romney's presidential campaign and also works for American Crossroads, the super PAC that was started by, Republican strategist Karl Rove. Down the hall, you've got another company with a very similar name, and its name is Target Point Consulting. And it does work both for Mitt Romney and for Restore Our Future, the pro-Romney super PAC. So the reason I found this interesting is because, the whole idea of the one prescription against super PACs is they're not supposed to coordinate with a presidential candidate. And that means that a super PAC such as American Crossroads, Restore Our Future, which is a pro-Romney super PAC, none of these are allowed to coordinate specifically with Mitt Romney. So I thought it was interesting to take a look at, whether there were indeed consultants that were housed in the same area, one working for the super PAC, one working for, the candidate, and taking a look at just going across the board. We took a look at actually the top 200 vendors for all the super PACs and the five candidates combined.
So you find, as we said, these companies all in the same hall. It sort of defies credulity, that they're not working with each other, that they're not...
Right. It seems absurd, right? The whole idea that, you're doing work for this one candidate, but you're going to separate your brain so that when you do work for the super PAC, your one side of your brain isn't going to talk to the other side of the brain. But when it comes down to some of these coordination rules, I think that this also goes to how full of holes they are, because you can sit there and say, oh, coordination is not allowed between a campaign and a super PAC, right? But then if you've got the campaign telling the media, this is what we're going to do, and then you've got the super PAC reading what in the media they're going to do, they can sort of mirror that without that being any sort of violation of the rules whatsoever. And I think what's interesting about it is that it goes to the whole idea of the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, that's supposed to take a look at these allegations of coordination or other improprieties with elections, that really is essentially a toothless organization. I mean, they come down to a 3-3 split on almost every single decision at this point because it is a partisan appointment. So you've got three Democrats and three Republicans, and they're just tying on almost everything. And you even take a look at coordination, the one thing that an outside spending group such as a super PAC and a candidate are not supposed to do together. And you look back over the last, 13 years, for instance, the FEC has only actually followed through on three complaints and investigated and followed through on three complaints of coordination that we know about, because we only know situations that have been resolved. And out of that, I think that the total fine was something like $26,000. So even if you do coordinate, it's not like there's going to be an investigation. It's not like there's any real consequences of punishment when you're talking about a super PAC that can raise millions of dollars versus fines of tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, tell us more about these companies that have then popped up. And why are they popping up? And I mean, given that...
lucrative. Come on.
Well, I was going to say, but given that there seem to be few fines for coordination, why bother to form a separate company and throw it in the same hall that's going to do direct mail? Why not just do it from the super PAC?
I mean, you can't really get, nobody's really talking about it. So, and I think some of it is just to avoid the appearance of coordination. And maybe you have separate people who are working on one particular campaign versus, you know, the super PAC in the different office. But, you know, you still want to have control over the ultimate business plan. It's not really clear. But I think that if somebody were to become very blatant about it, and there are companies indeed doing work for both a super PAC and for a candidate. I mean, in the case of Targeted Victory or Target Point Consulting, yeah. Both of them are doing work for a candidate and a super PAC. But they try to say, hey, we are separating this. We're aware of the rules. We, you know, have different people working on this. And it's difficult to say what exactly is happening. As far as why these companies have mushroomed, and you've had it particularly with the super PACs, the consultants doing work for the super PACs, it's even difficult to figure out necessarily who's behind some of these companies. You know, they're limited liability companies formed in Delaware. I think that the Newt Gingrich super PAC, Our Future, actually has five of the top consultants for this particular super PAC have been formed in the last year. And it's very difficult to find out exactly who's behind them. They have weird sort of generic names. You know, for instance, you take a look at a company such as Media Advantage, and you Google Media Advantage, and all these different companies come up and websites come up, and none of them is this particular company that actually is the Media Advantage that is doing work for Winning Our Future super PAC.
Well, you mentioned Media Advantage in Louisiana. Tell us more about what you did find out, because it's run out of the Bob Brooks Real Estate School in Louisiana.
Right.
A woman answered. Tell us more.
Okay, so I call up the Bob Brooks because, you know, a lot of this is you're tracing, you're trying to figure out what the company is. So you've got to go to the actual FEC reports to see the address that's reported. And that gives you at least one link between the company name and the address. And so then you go and look at the articles of incorporation, and then it comes back to this particular address that's the same as this Bob Brooks School of Real Estate. So I couldn't find any other offices that were in this building. So I just called up the Bob Brooks School to say, hey, do you have a suite upstairs? Have you heard of this company? And the woman who answers the phone says, oh, yes, we get the mail for that company, but we are the only company in this particular office. Maybe you should talk to Brent. And so she puts me on the phone with Brent Lancaster, who runs the actual Bob Brooks Real Estate School. And he's, you know, he's saying, oh, yes, I'm familiar with the company you're talking about. I'll make sure somebody gets back to you. Nobody ever does. Nobody ever returns any of the other phone calls I make. And it turns out that Brent is a former GOP strategist who is married to a woman named Laura Lancaster, who is allegedly running this particular company. And then you've got, in the past, she was accused of being involved in, by the New Hampshire Democrats, of being involved in shell companies that were actually trying to avoid rules on coordination back in 2010. Between outside spending groups and a particular candidate. Although, again, that complaint was made to the FEC, and we have no idea what happened to it.
We're talking about where super PAC money goes. ProPublica has found that $306 million has been sent so far this campaign season by major super PACs. Some of it spent on companies like American Express and Staples, what you'd expect. But much of it to companies that have just sprouted up and barely exist on paper. Companies that often work for both campaigns and super PACs, even though super PACs are prohibited from coordinating with campaigns. And in some cases, people who run super PACs are directing hefty fees to their own companies. Kim Barker is one of the ProPublica reporters on this story. Kim, the suspicion here is that these groups are coordinating. As you said, how do you just shut down half your brain when you're one of these companies' vendors working with both campaigns and with super PACs? But also there's a suspicion that some of this money that's flowing into these super PACs is flowing into companies that purport to be larger companies than they are. They may just be one or two people who may be what, just taking the money? Is there a suspicion that this is just a way to funnel money?
Well, I mean, you do have several instances that you've got, you know, folks who start a super PAC, and then they also direct a lot of the money to a particular company that they also happen to run. And you know what? There's nothing illegal about that. This is one of the things I find to be really interesting about super PACs is super PACs like PACs can spend the money on whatever they want. Now, a candidate is prohibited from doing, you know, self-dealing, from enriching his family, has to pay market value for the services that that you're getting. So you can't sit there and pay an inflated rate just because your relative or you, in fact, happen to run a particular company. You got to pay the market value. Super PACs, no such rule. PACs, no such rule. So anytime when you've got, I think, you know, with super PACs, you have millions of dollars coming in. There's no reason that you've got to pay market value. You can basically pay whatever you decide to pay to a particular consultant, to a company, to a friend's company, to your own company. And it's really just the donor that has to beware. And that's one thing that I found to be fairly interesting about this. But then again, when you're looking at it, the poor victim is the billionaire. You know, it's hard to feel sorry for the billionaire, right?
Well, you know, as you say, unless you're the billionaire. In another company, another situation of another company, a man insisted his office was an office, but he found it to be a UPS box.
Yeah, that was a super PAC that actually supports Ron Paul and sells Ron Paul action figures, and it's called Revolution PAC. And I noticed that it looked to be out of a UPS building, so I called the guy just to make sure that is this an actual office? And I said, is this an actual office? What's the address? Confirm the address. I said, does this have desks and computers and telephones and everything? And he said, oh, yeah. And then it turns out, we got a picture, actually, of the UPS mailbox it is. And it costs, it's not going to cost more than a few hundred dollars a year, but he's charging rent almost $1,800 a month. And it's small money, right? But that adds up. And the whole idea that there are really no rules as to what these super PACs have to spend money on, we'll see. It's like we're in the first year of this, we're in the first presidential election of this. So we're just going to have to see how everything shakes out and especially how some of these coordination rules shake out.
Well, also, we're very early in what has been a Republican season.
Right.
We know that President Obama's reelection campaign is flush with cash compared to Mitt Romney's. But as you just pointed out, there's all sorts of restrictions on how that money can be spent. While the Republican super PACs have a huge financial advantage over the PACs that support Democratic candidates, in large part because there has been such a ferocious primary season. But still, even though the Obama super PACs are late in the game, are you seeing the same kind of suspicious vendors surfacing on the Democratic side?
Not so much yet. I mean, you've got, one in particular that does work for Obama's campaign and one of the super PACs two of the super PACs that are Democratic super PACs. But it's not to the same extent. I mean, you're having like a few thousand dollars for the super PACs versus Obama's campaign of something like $130,000 on this particular vendor. But we're going to have to see what happens. I mean, Priorities USA Action, which is the main super PAC that's supporting Barack Obama, has not raised nearly the amount of money that, say, an American Crossroads has raised. And it hasn't really been spending money yet to the extent that the Republican super PACs are, because they haven't really had to. So we're just going to have to wait and see whether the donors will come forward for the more liberal super PACs. I think there's a reluctance of some of the donors to the historic donors to the Democratic Party to be dragged into the super PAC debate. I think there's a bit of a uneasiness with certain donors, even though the party has made it clear that they want to play in this particular arena.
Some of them have flat out said they're not going to be involved with super PACs. I'm thinking of the Hollywood donors like David Geffen, who have flat out said, I support President Obama, but I'm not going to support the super PACs. And you know of others?
Well, I mean, George Soros has come out, and he's just been kind of ambivalent about donating to the super PACs. You've got Jeffrey Katzenberg, the Hollywood director and producer, who's come forward and given money to Priorities USA Action. But we're still in the early stages. You know, again, with these super PACs, you don't necessarily find out who's funding them until, weeks after a particular ad could have run. They're now on monthly reporting systems, at least the larger super PACs are. So you don't find out, say, till the 20th of every month who actually is donating money and, a more thorough accounting of how the money is being spent.
That's Kim Barker with ProPublica. Again, we'll hook you up to their analysis of the money that's being spent by the super PACs. It's quite something. Kim, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
Well, we mentioned so many Republican vendors. The top earner from the pro-Obama super PAC Priorities USA action is a company called Monday Katowice Media. They've earned nearly $900,000, and past clients include the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee of Maine. Another super PAC called Women Vote has paid out money to a group called Project New West, launched in Colorado in 2007 by an aide to three Democratic senators who support abortion rights. Well, your thoughts on all of this. Will this super PAC system crash and burn, or is this elections as we will know them from here on out? Your thoughts at hereandnow.org.